Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto each and every one of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Quickly, I would like to bring you loving greetings from various people in ESCO. I know Trisha Thunberg. I saw her this morning, and she said she knows a lot of people here and has relatives here. So be lovingly greeted. And I just wanted to say before I read the text this evening, I really appreciate it. Interesting, the text that Jason chose for this evening just this very week, I looked at something and I didn't know the answer to it. And he turned to this chapter tonight and there it was. So I was grateful for that this evening. So the Lord works in wonderful ways in our lives, does he not? And I think especially if we want to know something. So that was wonderful. Well, this evening, I would like to turn with you to Psalm 73 in the Old Testament, of course. And I looked, and I don't always follow the church calendar. I'm not stuck with that. But I did look. And I noticed that Psalm 73 was one of the texts. And I wondered for a moment, just briefly, I wonder why for Lenten season Psalm 73 is one of the texts. And then it dawned on me what this text is about. Just within the last couple of days, if I didn't hear, I was told that some people are wondering why Christians call themselves evangelical anymore, because it seems as if so many are not being evangelical. I thought, you know, why don't we just call ourselves Christians? And you know what? If someone asked you, are you born again? That should not bother you and me. We should be thankful that someone cares enough about us to say, do you know the Lord Jesus in faith? Have you had a personal relationship with him? Are you born again? And this particular text talks about the difference between those who are born again and who are not, and how they think. It's very interesting. And now, I know as you turn to it this evening, beloved, you say, wow, that's a long text. But I'm going to read the entire text, but I'm going to try to be very brief, all right, this evening. It's a wonderful text. So may the Lord speak to us tonight. This is his word. May he speak to us tonight. And the words are as follows in Jesus' name. Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But, notice that now, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands or pains in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth or surrounds them about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment. In other words, they wear their violence and their pride like a necklace. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. In other words, they speak evil of God, and they mock him. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Truly or verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How they are brought into desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakeneth, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. I was convicted. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and portion forever. For lo, they that are far, far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Amen. I so appreciated, and not to dwell on that at all now, but the prayer of Brother Dennis this evening, talking about repentance. And you know, the first words that Jesus preached were, repent and believe the gospel, for this is the only way to God, through faith in him. And then also Brother Jason talked about this also. Notice in this first verse, the psalmist says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Truly God is good to Israel. This, my beloved, as we look at this text, what he just said in verse 1 is a belief that was won by him after a long personal struggle in life. And I think sometimes we need to learn, and pointing fingers at myself, that we have to be patient with things that we are going through and not give up. Because I like this passage when a man was about to die, and he said to her, and he passed away that night, but he said, see you in the morning. He had hope for tomorrow, for the morning. And we too, when we go through struggles and trials, and oh, beloved, they can be so difficult, and only those who are in them can know them and understand it. But as his children, we can, if we wait, somehow many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord God delivers for him from all of them. One way or another, he will. So, beloved, we need to learn to be patient. Oh, I shouldn't say that, because now something's going to come up. And the Lord is saying, yes, Gary, you need to be patient. But notice, he says, truly God is good to Israel. But notice verse 2, but for me. My feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. In other words, he had lost his confidence. He was discouraged. I would ask you this evening, have you ever asked, and of course we have, and we go through these times, we say, is it worth it all? Is it worth it to continue to walk for the Lord? We see those around us. Well, let me give you a personal experience. Years ago, I was riding with another man, and he turned to me and he said, Gary, why is it that those that you know don't live for the Lord, they mock him, they scoff at him, they want no part of him, but he said, why is it that they prosper and God allows them to prosper? And I have to admit to you that I really didn't have an answer for him, but I went home that day and I opened up the scriptures. And isn't that wonderful how God works in our lives? I opened up the scriptures and I was reading, and I went to Revelation. He asked me, how is it and why is it? How can it be that those who are wicked can be prospering in this life? It makes you envy them and so forth. And I came to Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. In other words, prosperity and health doesn't, if you have these things, it doesn't necessarily mean that all is well between you and the Lord, does it? He says in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. We sing that hymn, open my eyes, Lord, that I might see. That's a good hymn. And we should sing it prayerfully, shouldn't we? Open mine eyes, Lord, that I might see. Again tonight as we sing these hymns, the messages in the hymns that are so beautiful, when you sing them, pray with them as you sing those words. We should even read them once in a while outside of just in church. Well, the psalmist had lost his confidence. Have you ever done that? You become envious of others and discouraged. I'm sure that you have. Does God really care? We ask sometimes, don't we? Well, remember, the psalmist had gone through that, and now he knows that truly God is good. But let's see what happened before he came and learned that lesson. Verse 3. By the way, why was he feeling that way? Look at verse 3. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He was envious of them. Oh, if we could just learn to be content with what we have and thank him, to waken in the morning and thank him for our, you know, a pillow that we lay our head on, and for a house to be in during the cold, and for food on the table and clothes on our back. If we could just learn to be thankful. And also, it is hard, isn't it, sometimes? You look across the street or down the road and you'd like what that person has or that person has. But oh, if we could learn. This is kind of a tough one. I don't know, maybe it's just me. But if we could just learn to be thankful when others are blessed. If we could learn to be thankful for them, we would even be so much happier ourselves if we could just be happy for them. For there are no pains in their death, but their strength is firm. In other words, they don't suffer pain, and they're strong and they're healthy. And Lord, these people scoff at you. They don't love you. They are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. They don't suffer as others. Therefore, and verse 6 really means that they wear their pride about them like a necklace. And it's really interesting. It seems like a pride just leads to more pride, does it not? Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than the heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth, in other words, they laugh at each at the others and so forth. They set their mouth against the heavens. They speak evil of God, and their tongues walk through the earth. They claim that they've got a hold on God, and they've got something over on you, the believer. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. Oh my. This is a little bit of a difficult verse. But what it means, I believe in general, is that when you and I are around these people enough, if we don't have a good hold and aren't thankful to God for what we have, we begin to praise them, we begin to look to them, we begin to become like them. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 does say, does it not, that don't be deceived, don't be fooled. And particularly for the younger ones, but I don't know, we older ones need this too once in a while. Be not deceived. A bad company corrupts a good way of life. In other words, we can be influenced by others. Be not deceived. Bad company corrupts a good way of life. Young ones, that's why your parents care about where you go and where you are at, because they love you, and they've been there. They've had experiences that you haven't had. I read an article in the paper probably a couple of weeks ago, and anyway, without going through that article, this man made this comment. 15-year-olds, I was there myself at one time, all right? So I'm not pointing fingers at you. I just know what it's like. When we are 15, we are curious about many things. But at age 15, we don't often look down the road to what the possible consequences could be. And that's so important. What could the consequences be of the actions that I take? Verse 11, and they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Isn't that interesting? They're so proud that they say, well, God doesn't know what's going on down here. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. They have no needs. And look at verse 13. Have you ever done this? Verily or truly, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. He is so envious now and so jealous that he's thinking, why do I live for the Lord? That's what he's thinking. Now look at, let's go on. This gets even more interesting. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. And so look at all the things he's been saying now. Is it worth it all? Is it worth it to live for the Lord and want to learn from him? And then he says in verse 15, if I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. What the psalmist is saying here is that he is glad that he didn't go out and openly talk to his children and his family and others about what he was thinking, how he was thinking. He is so thankful that he didn't. He says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. He began to realize he wants to tell them, but should he or should he not go to his family and say, it's not worth living for the Lord. But look at verse 17. Until, look at that word until, I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. That is just absolutely beautiful. You are here tonight, and I never cease to be amazed when I come to Wolf Lake or Spruce Grove. I'm so thankful for this congregation, and I say this to people when I see them too, how you have a hunger and a thirst for God, because that's where when the psalmist went into the sanctuary where the word was preached and taught, that is where he began. He was taught, and he realized that he was thinking wrong and that it was worth it all. It is worth it all to follow the Lord. Notice the verse 18. Now he realizes, surely thou didst set them in slippery places and thou castest them down into destruction. He knows now. He had to be reminded by the word of God and by fellow believers. Beloved young people, fellow believers are so important in your life. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Why? Because it's as we go to worship together, hear the word and are taught the word, we read the word, talk to one another about the word, we can exhort one another and encourage one another and strengthen one another. Surely thou dost set them in slippery places. They're on a slippery slope, and they're going to be destroyed if something doesn't change in their lives. And that's where Brother Dennis and Jason talked about repentance, turning to the Lord. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. What he's saying here, that if they leave this life not having turned to God, that it's going to be a terrible thing when they meet the Lord. What a fearful thing to to meet the Lord and not be saved, as the book of Hebrews says. It's like a dream when they awake. So, Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. In other words, at that moment, it'll be like a dream, and they realize that my life was, it didn't amount to anything. I was living for myself, and I blew it. They didn't see the consequences soon enough. Then my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. I was convicted. Then he realizes that his thinking was wrong. He is convicted of how he was thinking. So foolish, verse 22, was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Brother Jason mentioned that tonight, didn't he? That sometimes we can act like animals. Sometimes animals treat each other better than we treat our own. Verse 23, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. In other words, he's saying, I will always stay close to thee. Now he knows it is worth it all. And he wants to stay close to the Lord. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In thy word, O Lord, do I hope, both from the book of Psalms. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. Beloved, I remember when Janice and I were first married, he said, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. He is telling us that God is first in my life, in his life, and it needs to be that way. When we were first married, Jen and I had, heard a message on husbands and wives and marriage, and I remember going home, and the struggle I had, I said, this is when we were first married, and I said to Janice, my wife, I said, hon, how can I put anyone before you? And already Jen was ahead of me, thanks be to God, and she said, Gary, she said, if you don't put God first in your life, our marriage cannot be what it should be. Amen. Isn't that the truth? If you don't put God first in your life, our marriage can't be as it should be. Men, if he's not first in our lives, how can we lead our families aright? Well, I imagine we could go on and on there. It speaks for itself. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth. We fail, and we have our doubts. I love that in the scriptures. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever and ever. Psalm 119, verse 49 says, in thy word, O Lord, do I hope. In thy word, O Lord, do I hope. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Everlasting damnation. You see, we are either saved or not saved. There's no in between. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. A beautiful song, near to the heart of God. It is good for me to draw near to God. Beloved, in closing, don't wish that you could trade places with someone that you might envy, and especially if they're not saved, because the day is coming, guaranteed, when they will be wishing that they could trade places with you. But then it will be too late. Today is the day of salvation. And Jesus says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the Apostle Paul in Romans 10, shall be saved. Amen. Amen. Shall we close with a brief word of prayer? God, our Father, we are thankful again tonight for your word unto us. for your exhortation. And Father, we thank you that men such as the psalmist would be willing to put into Scripture for us who come after to see and understand their faults and their failings, how they felt, with that, allowing us to realize that we do as human beings go through these things. But most of all, Father, help us to be sure to know that we are ready to meet you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who when he shed his blood on the cross, he washed the sins, our personal sins and the sins of the whole world away. But we must receive what he has done for us and believe in him. Thank you, Father, for your word and for faith to believe, for the privilege of being able to hear your word and to fellowship with fellow Christians. Father, we have you in Jesus Christ in common. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. May you humble your hearts and receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.